You can hear any of these morning show interviews in their entirety by going to our website, WGTD.org, and find the Morning Show Archive. I'm Gregory Berg. Thanks for listening. This is WGTD-HD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Guida Brown, former executive director of the Hope Council, Dr. Steve Brown, retired professor of educational leadership and school law, Dr. Karen Sconsert, chair of the education department and associate professor at Carthage College, Dr. Jonathan Shaler, professor of communications at UW Parkside, and Stephanie Skilba, Vice President for Community and Government Relations at Gateway Technical College. And now, here's today's moderator for Education Matters.
Good morning. Welcome to today's edition of WGTD's Education Matters. I'm Guida Brown, one of the program's rotating hosts. My guest today is Heather Conley, the Regional Coordinator of Elementary Leadership at Kenosha Unified School District, and we're talking to her about the holidays, particularly for those who are underprivileged. Welcome, Heather. Thanks for being here. So you were principal at Frank Elementary for how long?
So I was a teacher for 14 years and principal for 15, so
wow.
29 years.
Wow, okay. And this is your first year at the ESE?
So, yes, my job is actually between Frank and Ipsola, and then I work with a couple other leaders, and then at the central office. So I'm actually in the schools, my offices.
Got it.
Which is great.
Got it.
I'm still at Frank part-time.
Okay. Outstanding. Okay. So tell us a little bit about your experience during the holidays, what that was like, obviously, at Frank, where most of your experience has been.
Well, right about Thanksgiving, we start to get calls from parents, and they call the counselor, or they'll call a teacher, or they'll even call the secretary or myself, and they start to get a little worried, a little afraid, because they realize the holidays are coming up, and the kids are excited, but they're just not sure that they can make, you know, the budget to make Christmas work like they want for their kids. So they start calling, asking if we know of resources, asking if we can point them in the right direction. And so we've just gotten pretty good at Frank about connecting with the different community agencies, referring, and then also there will be groups that will reach out to us, and then we'll match them with families that we know are in extreme need.
So how does the community help? Aside from, you know, obviously there's the Good Fellows, and I know that the individual agencies, I know, do things, but how is the community helping?
So we got lucky at Frank, which we don't have here at Ipsola, so that's part of my new journey, learning how the different schools work. And Ipsola's demographics, their population is almost identical to Frank, so very similar to almost identical. And at about, I want to say about 10 years ago, I had a teacher who partnered with her cousin who worked at Walgreens. And Walgreens was willing to do a toy drive for Frank. And so the community has really, over the years, stepped up and donated at the different Walgreens stores for the kids. And so each kid gets one Christmas present each year. And it's become this really fun event where the night before, the teachers, like, shop in our library for each kid. So they pick something that they know the kid would be interested in or would really enjoy, or maybe the child has said, you know, I really would love a football, or I hope I'm going to get, you know, a action figure or a doll. And then volunteers help us wrap the gifts. And then the next day we have a Santa that comes, and he visits every child and he hand delivers each one of them a Christmas gift, and then they get to open the gift. The hardest part is every year we've had a couple kids ask us if they can wait to unwrap it or if they can rewrap the gift because they know they're not going to get a gift at Christmas. So that's always difficult. Mm. But the majority of the event is just really exciting, and the kids are happy, and it's just been a really nice way to come together, and that's because the community stops in at Walgreens when they're shopping and is willing to pick up a toy and drop it at the beauty counter for the kids. So it's been really a nice thing.
When does Santa visit the school? Is that like right before the break?
Yeah.
Or
it's usually the last full day of school. So okay. I think this year, if I'm correct, it's like the 22nd of December.
Okay.
So Walgreens will start collecting and then dropping off. They're probably collecting now, and then they drop off the week before, and then we wrap the night before.
Okay. So do you think that it should be the responsibility of the community, the businesses, and responsibility might be too strong of a word, but or
right.
school administrators to actively try to recruit businesses to get involved in the charitable functions of their schools?
Yeah. I don't know if it's an easy answer whose responsibility. It's really, you know, who wants to make this type of event happen. And in this situation, it was a partnership that a teacher started with a family member, and Walgreens has stepped up, and they donate all of the tape, they donate all of the wrapping paper, and at times they've donated gifts. So it's been a really nice partnership because it's an example of two people coming up with an idea, how can we make sure every kid gets a gift?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then the business jumped in and said, you know, we do toys for tots, but we don't always know where that goes. How about if we make it, you know, local? Frank is one of our highest poverty schools in the district, so they jumped in. And so it's been, and then it's the consumer who shops at the store and is willing to buy a gift and donate it back. So it's been a really nice partnership. I don't know whose responsibility it is, but it was a great idea that started with two people having a conversation, and everybody else went, yeah, that sounds like a really great idea. It's something we can do. And it's lasted all these years.
Mm-hmm.
So
how do we get Absola on the chart?
Yeah.
So, okay, let's say there's somebody
now
listening.
I've got, you know, the other side, now I'm thinking to myself, like, I almost feel guilty if I go over to Frank on the 22nd and enjoy that day, which
right.
is such a fun day, because it's not happening for everybody. I want to say that I believe Wilson has a partnership with the Sheriff's Department for something similar.
Okay.
So I think sometimes it's a business or it's a group. To get Absola on board, we need, you know, either a group that's willing to join us or community members that are willing to donate. We would probably, without a business like Walgreens, we would probably have to set up some type of a toy drive or a donation opportunity, and then fund it, probably filter it right through the school, is what I would assume, through the social workers and counselors, unless there was a business that was willing to, you know, collect gifts or donations for the kids, and then we would do the rest of the work. Really.
How many kids are we talking about? How many students at Absola?
So on the neighborhood side, there's about 360. They do have a dual language side. That's a choice program. So
yeah.
Those are kids from all over the district that come because they are looking for the dual language program.
Okay.
So the neighborhood side's about 360 kids.
All right. Who would they contact? So I'm being optimistic, and I know there's a business or an individual out there who can come up with a plan to do this
right.
for this year. Who would they contact?
Right. I would probably start with me, just because I have a little bit of that experience, and I'd be willing to then refer it to the group. I work here quite a few days, so I would be willing to take any call or any business that would be interested and connect them with the right people to make something like this happen for the kids here.
So how would they contact you, Heather?
Okay, so the best way to contact me would to contact the main office here, mm-hmm. which is 262-359-2300.
Okay.
And then they can forward the call to me, and I'll get it wherever I am.
Okay, so it's 262-359-2300, and you're
right.
asking to talk to Heather Connolly.
Yes.
Right? Okay. So has there ever been any consideration, and I want to get into the whole Santa thing, so
sure.
has there ever been any consideration of having students from one school partner up or have like a secret Santa from another school?
I'm not sure if they've ever done a secret Santa. I will tell you, Harborside provides us elves that day.
Okay.
So some of the students from Harborside come over and they help Santa pass out gifts. And then the night that we wrap, there's quite a few kids that will do service hours, or like I made all of my kids come over and wrap gifts. Mm-hmm. It wasn't hard to do. They were pretty excited. But we get a lot of volunteers, children of staff members, or you know, groups that have reached out and said, we're looking for service hours. How can we help? But as far as a secret Santa, I know that there's a lot of staff that participates in a secret Santa. I don't know that I've seen school to school.
Okay. That's so I want to talk about Santa.
Right.
In your experience, when are children learning about Santa, learning the truth about Santa?
You know, I always wonder this every year when we go through this event at Frank, because the excitement that a four-year-old has when they're opening a gift from Santa is just contagious. It just fills you up, right?
Yeah.
But I'm also surprised at how fun it is to watch the fifth graders. And if they know it's not real, they very rarely have ever questioned or asked. And I know by fifth grade, there's quite a few of them. But they just seem to be so intrigued and excited about the event that we don't get kids going, oh, you're not real, or, you know, is Santa real? We don't get those questions. My own children were about that age, about fourth or fifth grade, where they started to ask questions about Santa.
And how do you suggest parents address that question?
Right, because there's always a worry, like, you're going to look like you're lying to your kid.
Right.
I always felt like Santa was a feeling. Santa was an emotion. Santa is a symbolism. And so I would always say to my kids that Santa is about giving and about the joy of watching someone give. And so although it may not be real, it's real in a feeling, and it's an emotion, and it's a movement, it's a representation.
Okay.
And they usually, I will say, like my oldest, when he found out, for him, he actually figured it out with the Tooth Fairy. So for him, it was a little different because he started to question the Tooth Fairy. Like, it just didn't make sense to him. And then when he started to question that, he started to question a lot of, you know, those different traditions. So we just talked about, you know, Drew, these are traditions. These are symbols of the holidays. They're symbols of giving. They're symbols of making someone feel good and happy for a moment. And he seemed to be okay with that. I don't know that I'm an expert on how to talk about Santa, but as far as kids go, you just try to be as real as possible and let them understand that, you know, this is a symbol of love and symbol of caring. And they usually seem to be okay with that.
Great. Just a reminder, you're listening to Education Matters here on WGTD, your gateway to public radio. My name is Guida Brown, and my guest today is Heather Connolly. We're talking about Christmas, and we're actually trying to find a sponsor for Absola for this Christmas season or some future Christmas season, holiday season, for the kids at Absola to make sure that they each get a Christmas present. And to contact Heather, her phone number is 262-359-2300. It's Heather Connolly. She is the regional coordinator of elementary leadership at Kenosha Unified School District. So that's not a mouthful at all, Heather.
Right. There's a couple of us, but it's a mouthful.
Okay. So I have another question about Santa and sort of the idea that I don't understand how parents will decide what the gift from Santa is and what the gift from the parent is.
Okay.
And so, you know, going back to school after the holidays and telling your friends, oh, I got the Xbox from Santa, and the friends are like, oh, I got underwear from Santa,
right.
Seems a little perplexing to me, I guess, is really the best way to say that. So can you give some guidance on that or some suggestions?
Yeah, I do think that's probably the hardest part for some of the children when they watch the Christmas movies or they hear the conversation and then they open up or they don't get to open up a gift at Christmas and then they wonder, you know, did they do something wrong? Mm-hmm. Were they naughty? You know, you think about the naughty and nice list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in my home, so I have four children, so we always, any large gift that we purchased, such as like an Xbox, if we did that, it was a family gift, and we gave that gift.
Mm-hmm.
We would give the kids Santa gifts that were more individual, something that they had either asked for, but more reasonable, so that it wasn't this outrageous, you know, hugely expensive gift, and that, you know, they were somehow, you know, privileged that they got something that someone else didn't. So we always had a family gift, and then they would get something smaller. That seemed to go over pretty well. I don't remember them ever coming home and being angry that someone else got something different. I think, sadly, some of our kids that are living in poverty or are struggling probably know that Santa isn't real a lot sooner than other kids. I think that their parents have to have conversations with them when they can't purchase some of those gifts that they ask for. And so, unfortunately, the whole excitement of Santa fades sooner for kids that don't have the same means, because their parents usually have to be a little bit more honest with them and explain the situation. Mm-hmm. I think they kind of know sooner than others.
So, Heather, talk about the importance of the community gift drives or food giveaways that happen during the holidays.
Right. So, you know, as a community and as a, you know, culture, we have built the Thanksgiving, Christmas holiday about big feasts and traditions and about family and about giving gifts and receiving gifts. And we've, you know, depending if you're someone that is, you know, religious, you'll have, obviously, around Hanukkah or Christmas or Kwanzaa, you'll have celebrations. So this time of year is steeped very heavily in family, tradition, feasts. So imagine then, when you don't have the means to do that, how much it means to you when you can go and get a Thanksgiving meal or get a donation for Christmas. I mean, I've been a part of helping connect people for years, and it never goes unthanked. People are so grateful, and they're so appreciative because they want their children to have as best as everybody else does. I mean, everybody wants their kids to have the very best. And so it really means a tremendous amount to a family when they can have a meal with their children and they can have their family together and they can have a Christmas tree where they can have gifts. Even during COVID, we still did the Santa giveaway at Frank, but families had to drive up to get their gift, mm-hmm. and we weren't sure if they would come, and they did.
Mm.
It was the whole Santa was there outside the school, gave the gifts, but it was not just the gift, it was the whole tradition of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you know, maybe when you are able to donate and you're able to give a gift or you're able to donate food, you don't always get to see that side of it. You don't always get to see the joy that a family has when they can provide that to their children. And it's there, it's important.
So how much does it weigh on school teachers and administrators to see how Christmas can go poorly for students?
I will tell you, some of those moments when a child asks us to rewrap a gift is some of the most difficult. We had a donor from Rust-Oleum who had heard about the giveaway and had come that day, and Rust-Oleum had given a cash donation, and he was there when the child didn't want to open the gift and asked to rewrap it. He went out that afternoon and purchased more gifts for that family. He was so moved by that experience of seeing a child not wanting to open a gift because they wanted to wait till Christmas. So it has an impact. I mean, there's no way to not feel that. And teachers see it every day,
mm-hmm.
right? And they get to have relationships with their kids. I do think that's probably one of the beautiful things for us by doing this partnership with Walgreens is the joy that it brings the teacher to be able to make sure that each kid gets a gift,
mm-hmm.
and to watch their kids open those gifts. and to see the excitement. You know, that's a really great way to leave for Christmas break, because you don't know what they're going to experience during their break. So you're saying goodbye for, you know, 1 to 2 weeks, and you don't know what their 1 to 2 weeks might entail. And it feels good to know that you can send them off on such a positive experience, and it really means a lot to the teachers. I actually, 1 year, one of my kids was home, had a surgery, so I was on leave, and I came in that day because, you know, being home with him and the struggle of taking care of him had kind of weighed on me a little bit, and he was getting healthy, but it was a lot. I just needed a couple hours of watching kids have the fun and the joy and watching the teachers and seeing them take pictures and seeing Santa, that it just made me feel better.
No doubt.
Yeah.
So that sort of brings up the other side of that. Are there any concerns about crossing boundaries? I mean, it's one thing for the Rust-Oleum person right. to go out and buy presents. Yeah. It's another thing for staff to take that on a regular basis. Or
right. Right. And I think you have to respect the boundaries of the parents, too.
Right.
And some families, because of their own religious traditions, also, you know, don't celebrate Christmas morning the same way that other families do. So we always communicate with our families ahead of time that, you know, if you have concerns or you have questions, I've had parents call and say, you know, we don't celebrate Christmas morning. We, you know, celebrate Hanukkah. But we also understand that this is a fun event for the kids. It's not exactly on Christmas Day, so we're going to let our child participate, or they'll ask a few questions. So you have to be respectful of people's boundaries and making sure that you're not forcing them to do something that they're not comfortable with. I've never had anybody say, don't do it. But I've had parents ask questions or just say, you know, we're going to let our child participate, but respect that our boundaries are a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So I've found that if you have a good conversation. But teachers, you know, they have big hearts and they want their kids to have these experiences, but they also are dealing with their own stress of the holidays. So you don't want to put too much on the individual teachers. So we've always asked for volunteers, because some teachers have very young kids and they have to, you know, plan their own holiday. They have to plan their own feast. And other teachers, maybe they go to a family member's house, or maybe they don't celebrate Christmas. So we've always just put it out there and said, hey, if you want to be on the Santa committee, let us know. And then there's a group that organizes it. We've always had enough volunteers, and there's never any pressure that everybody has to do it. But there's always people that want to help. So asking for volunteers is usually the right way to go, and then we go from there.
So, again, I just want to remind everybody that we're looking for a sponsor for Upsola. 360 students need presents, so that you can call Heather Connolly at 262-359-2300. Now, Heather, I have a question, because having worked so long in social services, I get a lot of pushback on the people who are sort of gaming the system. And my sister and I have had this conversation that I say, in our community, there shouldn't be a child who's not getting a present at Christmas. Now,
right.
Again, I bring in sort of the Santa present, you know, that's the Xbox versus the balsam airplane that is,
right.
you know, is not what I would consider a substantial present. But is there a concern that that's really happening sort of in this great way? Because I think, you know what, if you go through the effort to get two presents for your kids, I've got no issue with that. I don't
right.
feel like we should be tracking names and social security numbers to make sure that people aren't getting more than one right. present. But I know that there's a perception that somehow that's happening, and
yeah.
people are having these glorious holiday functions on the backs of the donors. And so speak to that a little, please.
Yeah, I think, you know, both of us have done a lot with social services, you more than I have with certain community groups. And so you hear it more than I do, but I think there's always going to be somebody that's going to quote unquote cheat the system. I don't know how you get away from that. Although the majority really are, you know, wanting to make a great Christmas for their children, and they want to be able to provide them with something, and they're dealing with some really real traumas and real issues that make that difficult. So you can focus on the kids and what you're doing to help the kids, or you can focus on the adults. I choose to focus on the kids. What has been fun about the event that we've had at Frank all these years is that everybody gets a gift, and the price range of the gift is this. Nobody's getting an Xbox. Nobody's getting a big, you know, set of skis or, you know, a trip somewhere to Disney. It's nothing like that. Everybody's getting, you know, a car or a doll or a basketball or a football or a game. They're all getting something similar. So it kind of levels the playing field a little bit, that everybody's going to get something. And that's always been a really hard stop for us. There's no, you know, we're going to take a gift away because maybe you weren't good that day. Mm-hmm. Or if you were absent, you don't get a gift. Nope, you get the gift when you come back. That's always been a hard line. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets a gift. We're not going to decide who's worthy or not. That's just not what I believe is my role. And I think if you're going to focus on who's going to quote unquote cheat the system, then you probably should move on, because you just really aren't in the mood to be a donor. You just can't control that. It's unfortunate, but I think we see that with any kind of event. How are you going to be able to determine? I mean, when someone goes to a food bank or, you know, goes to a soup kitchen, we're not going to make them show us their bank account to decide whether or not they're worthy. We're going to give what we can.
So I would say, I agree with you 100%. I would say that I have known on occasion, and I've even experienced it, where sort of a giving tree, and you pull the tag off, and it's like, oh, we would like an Xbox, and so, yeah, you know, and yeah. I'm like, wow, I must have missed the message back here. Yeah. I do think, and I think it's cultural. I don't blame anybody for doing that. If somebody wants to buy me an Xbox, buy me an Xbox. But I do think it's a sort of our societal response to, well, Christmas, I'm going to get what I can get.
Sure.
And I don't think everyone does that. I marvel at my grandchildren's Christmas list. My grandson actually said, you know what's on my Christmas list? A water bottle. I've got a water bottle on my Christmas list. So not everyone's doing that. But I do think that there has to be a balance. And again, I blame then the donors for getting people to think that that's an appropriate option.
Right. And I think also keep in mind that when people are filling out these wish lists or these giving trees, they're not always given guidelines.
Right.
You know, there's not someone sitting down with them and saying, listen, it's not appropriate to ask for that. It's not appropriate to think someone's going to get you a pair of Nikes or someone's going to get you an Xbox. This is donated from, you know, community members, and what's appropriate might be underwear and socks, a water bottle, a game. Like, I think sometimes we forget that we hand out these papers and we ask people to fill them out without necessarily a lot of guidance, and maybe even understanding of what they're filling out.
Right.
And then we get what we ask for, you know. So, and I think some of them also, my experience when I've done the larger group things is, you know, like when we have the giving circle, and there's usually a number of families that are chosen, my counselor will actually sit with them and talk it through and say, okay, this would be something you could ask for, this is something you wouldn't ask for, and then explains to them what is reasonable and what they could expect. Because some of the families have not had that experience. You know, in the larger donation circles, like a giving circle or giving, they've never gotten that before. Like, when we do it through school, like when Goodfellows contacts us, we don't give to the same families every year.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it might be something that they only get once.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I can see as a donor, if you saw that when you pull it off the tree at church or at a community group, you think, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't know that all of the families understand what they're really asking for, and they're thinking, well, it's not something I can give, and it's not something I can do, so I'll at least ask, and if they can't do it, they can't do it.
Right.
You know.
Okay. Just a reminder, you're listening to Education Matters here on WGTD, your gateway to public radio. My name is Guida Brown, and my guest today is Heather Connolly, the Regional Coordinator of Elementary Leadership at Kenosha Unified School District. And we're really trying to find a sponsor for EBSOLA for this year for 360 students who need a Christmas present. Contact Heather at 262-359-2300. Heather, tell us, how do kids view, in your experience, how do kids view that Shop with a Cop
event
program? Yeah.
You know, the kids that get chosen for that event are very excited, but they're not really sure what to expect. I think, I think it's a good thing, but because it's done on the weekend and because it's done off-site, it's not something where the rest of the kids who didn't get chosen are witnessing it. They're not really seeing what's happening. When the child goes there, the excitement is pretty intense. They love the event. Most of the kids are always wanting to buy something for their mother or father,
mm-hmm.
Which is always very sweet. They don't always want to buy for themselves. They want to buy for people in their family. But there's a little bit of shock on their face when they first get there. There's so many people. There's all these employees and then representatives from the different departments. And usually there's also school staff. So it's a pretty big event. And there's cheering, and there's excitement, and then they're wrapping your gift. So I find that a lot of kids are a little overwhelmed at first. They're just not really sure what is going on. Like, they don't know what to expect. But every single one of the kids that I've seen, you know, that's participated has had a wonderful time, and they come back the next week to tell their teacher about it. If their teacher wasn't there, a lot of the teachers will go.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really great event, but it's not something that we necessarily publicize in the schools. So by the time they get picked, they may never have even heard of Shop with a Cop.
Mm-hmm.
And so they kind of look at us a little crazy when we're like, okay, can you be at this store on Saturday morning? And they're like, what?
Right.
It's a pretty great event.
Is there a risk, and I know this is not a loaded question because I've only experienced it once. Is there a risk in making the holiday more about the donor than about the recipient? For example, the Shop with a Cop program, that
right.
It makes me feel so good, or even, you know, even sponsoring the kids at Frank or EBSOLA. The experience I had was a nonprofit in Kenosha who drove around in a van playing Christmas music on Christmas morning for kids who, and I want to say it was billed like, if you didn't get enough for Christmas, come out to our van and we'll give you. And I was not a happy camper.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, there's that boundary, that level of understanding of what are the holidays for? They're not for me to feel good about giving somebody a Christmas present. And that's just in general. They're
right.
About the person receiving the Christmas present.
Or to shame the family.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
that,
yeah, that's a whole other level, right? That,
right.
You know.
Right.
So how do we save that? How do we protect those boundaries?
I luckily have not had that experience. I find that most of the donors that I've worked with for any of the events that we've done is they just want to make sure that they can give back. Usually it's somebody that had received something when they were younger, or maybe, you know, have worked in nonprofits or worked with families that have struggled, or have, you know, found that they themselves have some privilege or came upon some privilege, and they just want to give back. So the majority of donors are really about being able to give back because they've been blessed in their lives. And so I think that's been my experience for the most part, is it hasn't been about them. I think the risk certainly would be if you do have a group that's looking to self-promote at the expense of a child, that would not go well for me either. I would really struggle with that. Even I've had, you know, private donors that have reached out at times and said, hey, I want to sponsor a family for Christmas, but I don't want them to know that I did it. Or, you know, I want my kids to see how we can give back, that we've been blessed, you know, and I'd like them to deliver the gifts, but not necessarily get the credit, but just to be there. So most donors that I've worked with, they either want to be anonymous or they ask if they can, you know, be like Walgreens will come that day, or Rust-Oleum had come. They want to be there to watch it. They really aren't necessarily looking to get the credit. I've even with Walgreens, you know, they've asked at times, could they get a picture with Santa and maybe myself or a teacher, but they don't ask to take pictures with the kids.
Mm-hmm. Oh, got it. You know, okay.
Yeah. So they'll ask to maybe take a picture with the people that help put it together so that they can thank, you know, their corporate office, but they don't want to do that at the expense of the kids, because they understand that if the kids realize that it's Walgreens helping to do this, it takes away that whole joy of getting the gift from Santa.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't had the experience you had, and I really feel sorry for people that want to shame families that way.
Yeah. All right, we're going to move a little on beyond Christmas. What about New Year's? How do, in your experience, do kids care about New Year's? Are they thinking, ooh, this is a fresh start, or are they... is it just yet another day, but another celebration to, in some degree?
Yeah. Elementary kids are very confused by, you know, when they leave for Christmas and you say, see you next year, they don't quite, that goes right over their head. So most elementary kids are more about trying to figure out what this means, that now we have a new year. So teachers will use it as kind of a learning tool, but they're otherwise, they're not too focused. I think right about middle school, high school is where you see the idea of a New Year's resolution and about starting fresh and that message of starting fresh. Elementary kids don't quite get that. That's kind of the thing everybody says, like the last day before Christmas break. See you next year. And they look at you and go, why do you say that?
I feel like I remember once being, I hope I was young, I don't know. I didn't have a ton of common sense. So I remember on the 4th of July, thinking, now it's 1977, right? Like, you know, and my mom looking at me like, oh my gosh, I thought you were the smart one.
Yeah.
Because I was like, well, it's the nation's birthday, right?
Right.
So it should be a new year. So aren't we? And she was like, no.
Yeah. And if you think about elementary kids, a new year for them is the beginning of the school year.
Ah.
So that's where they always think of a new year, fresh start, starting over. So January 1st has not been one, and we're never in school. It's always a holiday off.
Right.
So I don't think there's a ton of celebrations. You know, I think certain families, you know, if they have a tradition, we always had a resolution that we would talk about, you know, as a family. But we always tried to do something that wasn't necessarily about ourselves, but to do something for others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was always a big deal in our family, is we were going to write a resolution about something we could do for somebody else. Not real big into the New Year's resolutions. It's more about what can I do better for somebody else and kind of using that focus moving forward.
All right. So I want to recap for the people who didn't want to listen to the whole interview. Too long didn't read, too long didn't listen.
Yep.
So what are acceptable gifts from Santa?
Right. So actually, that's why I think Walgreens has been a good one. But, you know, in my opinion, watch any great Christmas show and you'll see it. It's the toy truck. It's the doll. It might be the basketball or a train, not an electric train set that's, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars. But, you know, the idea of Santa, it can be very simple. And I think that's the important part, is what can we do to make it have meaning, but it doesn't have to be that, you know, the kids feel that they have the right to, you know, wait all year and say, okay, now I can get the most expensive gift. You know, that's you kind of put yourself in a really tough spot if you wait till Christmas to buy the big gift.
Mm-hmm.
So focus on the easy traditional gift of a game, of a doll, trucks, cars. I mean, kids still love that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They might be a little fancier than when we were younger, but the traditional toys have not, and some of them actually come back in style.
Yeah, the Tonka truck.
Yeah, right. Yep. We never did, in our house, we never did the bikes and things like that because they couldn't ride them,
mm-hmm.
and it was a big gift. Those were more like, you know, birthday or monumental things. It mm-hmm. was always, you know, we might get a sled because, you know, you could go out sledding. But, you know, my kids have gotten to an age where it's all about clothes,
mm-hmm.
so that kind of happens when they get to, but I'm not a big one about, you know, we're going to have iPhones now,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to have, you know, if there's a family gift, it comes from a family from us. But for Santa, I think focusing on something that is fun and has meaning but isn't over the top is really important.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it ever appropriate for children to get cash? I don't mean from Santa.
Yeah.
But, you know, no, grandma sends it. Or
yeah. I think that's another slippery slope.
Okay.
Like, to me, that's the message that either you didn't have time or Santa didn't care enough to actually, you know, make the toy in the toy shop. I mean, remember what the whole symbolism of Santa is.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
How can community members help a school? Any school, not Absola at this time.
Yeah. Well, if they shop at Walgreens, they can certainly help out at Frank. But what I have found with some communities is that a lot of the area churches, whatever religion you might be, a lot of them do sponsor families. So you could start there if you're looking to give or to sponsor. We were just at church yesterday, and they were collecting toys for their own giving tree.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking to give, I would say start with a local church. If you're not someone that belongs to a local church, you certainly could call a school. I've had that before. In fact, there's a anonymous person who adopted the staff at Frank who had heard about the school, and, you know, he comes by every couple of months and he drops off pizzas for the teachers, or he drops off donuts because he just wants to thank them for the hard work they do, and he never wants to be recognized. But he'll ask, you know, is there a family that I could adopt? So if you don't have a church you can reach out to, or, you know, you don't shop at Walgreens, you could certainly call a school. And this donor that donates to Frank does not have children that attended there. He had just read about the school and thought, you know, I'd like to do something nice. So we've got donors that will call a school and say, you know, I'd really like to adopt a family.
Hmm.
Can you, you know, reach out to a family that's had trauma this year or a difficulty that, you know, might need an extra hand? And I know that the counselors at Absol and Frank would be, have been great about that. I would assume every school would mm-hmm. be the same way. I can't see anybody turning that kind of offer down.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That, yeah, that's very generous.
Yes.
And recognizing, remembering, honoring the staff as well. I think there are folks who get lost in sort of the Christmas shuffle because they're not young enough or they're not cute enough, quite honestly. I mean, there's some other populations that deserve some attention. And finally, how can a business help?
Well, I think you kind of summed it up really well, that if there's a business out there that is willing to partner with a school, there's a number of schools that they could call, and obviously Absol is one of them. It doesn't mean that they would have to supply the gift for every single kid, but they could have a donation box in their business. They could, you know, promote to their customers, hey, we're going to sponsor a school this year. We want to make sure every child gets a gift. If you would be willing to donate, you know, put a box out, that would be phenomenal. I mean, like I said, that's been really one of the best parts of this with Walgreens is that, you know, we've been able to work with the business and with customers and with the school to make this event happen. And for me, I'm not the person that did it. It wasn't mm-hmm. me that started it. I might be the person on the telephone or making a couple calls, but it's really people that just wanted to do something really great for kids.
And is that at every Walgreens in Kenosha?
I believe it's at the 80th Street